Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson natural boneless chicken breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, slap me up the side of my face and call me Chris Rock. You're with the Chats with Cats podcast. No, Mark, Rick and Dan, how are you, mate?
Fucking crazy. That's sucking. That's unseen stuff.
What happened?
Oh, just can't talk. Oh man, I tell you what. Watching that, I was in shock. That's crazy.
We've got a clear divide in the world. Some people think, good on him, how good is this? And there's a lot of people. I didn't realize how much it was, but there's a lot of people that are pissed off about it.
I'm pissed off about it.
Yeah,
don't
like it.
Oh, look, I think. Okay, here's the sad thing is the awards have turned into a fucking roasting fest, right? It's almost more about the roasting than it is about the awards now. And that's Ricky Gervais's fault, but he did a fucking great job of it. You bring in Chris Rock, he's got some massive shoes to fill. And, yeah, I haven't watched the whole thing, so I don't know how many of his jokes landed, how many didn't. But, I mean, it was a poor taste of joke, but I don't think anyone deserves to be punched in the face or slapped in the face. Where are you on this, by the way? We haven't even spoken about this.
Yep. So, I kind of was just like, I don't know, it's like whatever. It doesn't mean anything in my life. Mm. Like, it's got absolutely no bearing in anything that I care about. But when I got home, I said to Rach, I said, oh, you would have seen what's happened today. Yeah. She's right into it. She follows all the shit. Apparently, Will Smith is actually a piece of shit. So,
what do you mean?
Like, what I think of Will Smith is, I actually think he's a pretty good actor.
Yeah, I quite like him as a person.
Movies,
yeah.
All of that sort of stuff. I thought he was a good person, but she's like, nah, he's a psychopath. He's a Scientologist. He's got some book, apparently, where basically he tells you how much of a psycho he is, just like treats everyone poorly and all this sort of stuff. So her take on it is that he's just finally cracked in public and now exposed how he really is to the world.
Well, imagine all the pressure he's been under for so long. Just in the spotlight.
Yeah.
Like, oh, fuck, that'd be just so intense.
But then also, I don't know, I didn't listen to or watch his speech that he gave after he won, but apparently it went on for like 6 minutes. Normally, you've got the music queued up in your fucking roadcaster.
Mm.
Normally, they play you out. Like, that's enough, mate.
Should I play it?
We're going to play you out. Go for
it. Yeah, okay. So this is what you usually get when you talk too long. Like, come on, hurry the fuck up, can't get off date. So he didn't, I'll cut that off. So he got none of that.
Apparently, just let him go. Mm. And then he tried to make an excuse and whatever, but I don't know. If you look at some of the responses from famous people in Hollywood, there's like Judd Apatow, who was the writer and director of lots of everyone's favourite movies, like Anchorman and all those sorts of things, Superbad, I think. He's just like, nah, this is shit. Like, this is terrible. Lots of people are in the same boat.
What, so terrible towards what? Chris Rock or towards...
Yeah, saying that Will Smith just, like, it's not called for. You don't need to be that way.
And I'm still lost. Are you talking about Will Smith hitting him or Chris Rock saying the comment?
No, about Will Smith hitting him.
Yeah, I don't think you should ever hit anyone. He could have gone up there. Now, Chris Rock has a lot of, I wouldn't say dirt, but, you know, divorces and stuff like that. He could have gone up there, just stolen the mic and then said, well, you know, you know, you're divorced and you're a loser or something, and then sat back down. He didn't need to punch him. And if he did want to do that punch, he could have fucking waited till off stage and done it in a private setting.
Yeah.
It's really like, although it's awesome in the word that everyone got to see that, and it was so fucking full on and exciting, and you know, now everyone's talking about it. Yeah, I think he just, so many other places he could have done that. You know, like, it, we didn't need to see that. He didn't need to put the audience through it, and they didn't even know it was, they actually all thought it was a joke. Yeah. I was, a couple of other people I've seen recently on TikTok coming out going like, I was there, we all actually, until Chris Rock started talking about the documentary straight after, we still thought it was a legit part of like the Oscars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, we thought it was a fake sound that we heard, but you just never know. It's definitely not staged because there's nothing good that can come out of this for Will Smith.
Nah, not at all. Nah. I wonder where it goes from here, though. Are there going to be longer-term repercussions? Do you think he'll come out and do some bullshit apology video? Or
I think so. I think so once he calms down. But Chris Rock's dropped the charges anyway. He's assault charges are out the window. So he said, nah, don't want to worry about it. So,
Do you a lot of people are saying that he handled himself very well.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
And the fact that he could even talk after that and like form a sentence, I'd be fucked. I'd be on the ground crying.
The thing that people don't remember either is he's not young. He's 57 years old.
Is he 57?
Yeah.
I thought like pushing 50.
He's nearly 60.
Wow.
So you've got a 53-year-old man slapping, bitch slapping, a 57-year-old grandpa. Like, you don't come back very well from getting hit when you're that old. He could have been concussed. He went on and did the whole rest of the thing.
He could have knocked him out because he fucking hit him so hard in the side of the head near the temple too.
Yeah.
That could have been gone. See ya.
Anyway, moral of the story is he was scratching the wrong side of the couch.
He was. You can't jump a boat like that.
No. Straight over.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, I guess this is going to evolve in the week. It's very fresh. It's what, 7 hours old, 6 hours old or something?
Yeah. Well, when Mark sent that through to us, I couldn't get my head around when it actually was. I was like, when was this?
Mm.
Why didn't we see about it until now? Because it was what the caption on the video was like, oh, this rare footage or something. Hang like on, that.
Mark
it
sent
was broadcast
it. He sent some fucking Japanese version of it. I'm like, how did you get this? Like,
yeah.
Anyway, fuck. Like I said, we will find out more once it evolves and see what he has to say for himself.
But just remember, keep my wife's fucking name out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Just remember.
I like that saying.
Yeah.
Keep, well, anything out of your mouth. It's pretty good, especially penis. That's a good one.
Moving on.
All right.
How was your weekend?
Actually, a lot happened for my weekend. I want to talk about one thing. How often do you book dinners online?
Very rarely these days.
Why?
Because we've got kids and we don't really go out for dinner.
All right. Yeah, fair enough. So I've been doing, you know how I said a couple of weeks ago, looking at reviews, doing bookings. Last few weekends, I've been trying to organize a whole day. So go and do something, then book lunch, and then do something, and then a book dinner. But if you leave it like 2-3 days out, you've got no chance, especially at good restaurants, right? I tried to hook something up in McLaren Vale the other night. Said everything was booked out until about 7 p.m., but we were starving at 5. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to try and call up and just see if they can do something. So I called up. I was so nice. I was like, hi, how are you going? I know you're booked out and everything, but I just was hoping that maybe someone's cancelled last minute and you got something for me or whatever. And she's like, nah, no one's cancelled, but like, let me just see what I can do for you. And she just went to all this effort, made us a table and said, yeah, come in at 6. I got there, best service ever. So it got me thinking, I think from now on, no matter what the internet says, just call up anyway, because they might just squeeze you in, go the extra mile for you. It's the best. I felt so good about it.
I think the problem with all of this online booking shit is it takes away that human element, obviously, because you're doing it on a computer.
Yeah.
Didn't really need to say that. Anyway, the other part that we were discussing yesterday about this, I was around at my mate Ryan's place and we were talking about taking our families away together, going for a weekend away again.
Mm.
Looks online, all the holiday parks or whatever we're looking at, they're all booked out.
Yeah.
Same shit. Do you know what they say when you ring them though?
What?
Oh, no. It gets to a point that we do a percentage of online bookings, but you always leave some capacity.
Oh, some walk-ins.
Yeah. not necessarily for walk-ins because it's a slightly different situation. You're not just going to take a punt on a holiday.
Okay, so this is now becoming a thing. So if anything ever says it's booked out online, you need to contact them direct.
Yeah.
And just try your luck.
But it goes further than that. So I was at Dan Murphy's a couple of weeks ago.
They said they were out of beer and they had beer?
Buying tequila. And I went on their app trying to find who had the deals. They had this, the one that I wanted said they had 13 bottles available on the app in the store I was in, and I went there and the shelf was empty. And I went up and said to the guy, it says here that you got 13 bottles of this, so there's none on the shelf. Could you have a look for me? Yeah, no worries. He goes, oh, look, that thing's never accurate anyway. I'm like, it's your fucking POS. Like, it's your point of sale system that feeds the thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, and it could change. I was like, no one is coming in the 5 seconds that I've been here buying 13 1-liter bottles of tequila.
No, I can understand why this is out because you can have breakage and theft.
13 bottles,
yeah,
Dan.
Yeah, I know, but keep in mind as well, let's say it's a bottle of vodka and there's something else that's the same or a different flavour. If the person at the checkout scans a different flavour of it, like the let's say the one on the right twice instead of both individual ones, then it's going to fuck up the stock.
Yeah, that's too much variability.
You don't believe in it?
Nah.
I reckon there's something to it there.
No. They do stock takes regularly as well. That's the other thing. Okay. To correct all that shit.
So you're angry at them.
And actually, I've worked at Dan Murphy's before, and you constantly, if something breaks, you write it off on the system.
Yeah, like, right.
There's shit in place.
I can see there's something
I'm
in you.
I'm actually getting angry now because I fucking wanted that bottle of tequila. I ended up having to pay $10 more for a bottle that I didn't want.
And it was no good?
No, it's fine. Still did the job. Still gets you drunk. It's fine.
Okay. Oi. Okay. So
anyway.
Before we move on. Yes. So, you know, this dinner got into. Had a lovely dinner.
Where'd you go? Shout them out.
Can't remember the name.
Oh, well, it's great. It was an excellent place in McLaren Vale. Everyone just go there.
Verazzarelli's? I can't fucking remember the name. Something like that. Very good. Italian place. Anyway, we were leaving, driving down the road like you would in a car, and Alison got pulled over by a cop. There was no motorbike. There was no cop car. There was no nothing for an RBT. The guy was on foot. I'd never seen anything like it before in my life.
How did he pull her over? Like he walked down.
He walked into the middle of the road, put his hand up like a stop sign, and just pointed to the gutter. And she pulled in, and like she'd only had like half a glass of red, so we knew she was fine. He looked so angry, probably because he's on foot. But I'd never seen it before. It was the most covert cop pullover I've ever seen. He literally like morphed out of the ground. It was fucking crazy.
Maybe he got done drink driving.
Maybe he did, as a cop.
And then like your punishment is you don't lose your job, but you for the next 12 months. You're going to have to go.
You have to catch 1,000 people drink driving and you get your license back. Oh, fuck, that's amazing.
So we glossed over that Mark's not here, but the young man is not well.
No. Hey, you know, I did say he's going down hard and it's happened.
You said he was going to go down hard on you later a few weeks ago.
Hey, I knew it was going to happen. And this thing is, right, Mark tells us that he's gone out all weekend with a bunch of friends, right?
Yeah.
And I assume it's Friday and Saturday night and most of Sunday, right? And then early in the week, he gets told, what did you say? He goes, oh, yeah, all of my mates have COVID and I'm sick. And we're like, oh, well, fucking good. You're at the podcast before you started showing symptoms, so now we're fucked. He does, what, 2 RAT tests, both come up negative, waits till this Saturday that's just come, gets a PCR test, negative. How the fuck does that work? But I don't know how many mates it was. It would be over 4, wouldn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah, a group's 4. Know. 4 plus, surely. That's just doesn't make sense.
You reckon Mark could wrestle up a group of 4 mates?
I reckon he's got 10.
Do you?
At least. I got sick, didn't have COVID, but I was fucked up. You got fairly sick before I got sick, fairly fucked up.
Yep.
So maybe this is some strain of non-COVID. Maybe it's just actually the flu that he's got.
To our very best friend Tom, who's got COVID at the moment, the C word.
The spicy cough, he calls it.
Spicy cough. Wishing you all the best, mate. Yeah, mate. For get a speedy over recovery.
No good. All right. We'll start with this. How often do you get invited to parties now with your children? Now, whether that's a kids' party.
Yeah, we went to one on Sunday.
Okay. What's the start time of the party?
9:30 a.m.
Oh, yuck.
It's a 2-year-old birthday party. What are you going to do?
Yeah, fuck. Probably coming at 1:30. What time? Are you on an invite? Do you show up exactly at the time on the invite?
Oh, I hate this.
What?
I hate this because parties that I've had where people decide to rock up whenever they feel like it, it really pisses me off. And for that reason, I used to be very diligent and get to, like, you want me there at this time? I'll be there at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there was something like I had to finish work first or whatever.
Yeah.
But we just can't get anywhere on time these days because of the kids and stuff like that. And it fucking shits me. So on Sunday morning, I got up, got the boys, get them breakfast, get them ready. And then Rachel swaggers out at 8:30 and I'm like, you need to be ready now.
So this is like, this is Rachel's fault, not the kids' fault.
Yeah, in this instance it was, yeah. But, I mean, in the end, we're only 15 minutes late. But I don't know, I just, it's disrespectful.
Yeah, I think it is too. I hate when I make a time and people are late. But I'm getting to the point now where I think, like, if someone's holding, like, a big birthday event and let's say you are a minority of who's going to be there that you know, right? So you might know yourself.
So you're thinking, oh, fuck, I've got to get there early.
And then I'm not going to know anyone.
Small talk with people that I don't know.
And, like, I'm not too worried about meeting new people, especially if I've had a few drinks and I can get talking and it doesn't bother me. I'm not introverted. But the start when you're, example, you might be tired, you're just not in a very, you know, conversational mood?
Social.
Yeah, social mood. Like, getting there on time, I reckon a lot of people go, like, I'm just not prepared for that.
It's
like,
too hard.
It's too hard basket. Mental. So the 8 o'clock start time, 8 p.m. start time, turns into like a 9, 9.30. Everyone will already be drunk. They've already made their groups. We've already had pre-drinks. We rock up. We're just getting dropped right in the middle of it. Like, I think that's how a lot of people think. And, yeah, I suppose my question to you was, yeah, what do you do? You say on time?
Yeah. I just hate being late to anything.
Mm.
It gives me a lot of anxiety.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, same here.
I just like being early.
Mm. I'm exactly the same.
I'll get to your party 15 minutes early and sit in the car, wait till the time goes and be there on time.
I used to do that.
Be early, but yeah. I'll be there on time.
I'd rather be 10 minutes early than 10 minutes late anytime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, let's move on. Okay, now let's speak about this. I'm excited. This has to be the craziest week in sport, I reckon, for a very long time. Now, if you're not into sport, hold in there because a lot of this isn't really sport related at all, but it's just happened around sport. So the first thing we'll just touch on is Ash Barty's retired. That came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Have you got any theories behind this? Because I've got two.
Well, no, I have no theories. Mm. And the reason I don't is because I think to respect her as a person and as someone who's, you know, decided for their own reasons that, hey, I've had enough. Just let it be what it is. She was good at tennis for a little while. She was number one in the world, won some slams. Good on you.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, I don't care so much about that. I more care about my thoughts. One is I reckon she's cool. Fun. Planning kid. Fair enough. Again, yeah. Good on you. Or second, I'd like to see her try AFL. I think she'd kill it. She goes to a lot of footy matches, drinks a lot of beer there. She likes it. Could be on the cards.
Yeah, there's a lot of people saying, you know, what other sports might she be interested in trying? Is it an AFLW or is it cricket? She's good at that as well. Golf. Yeah. Do you know her? I think I said to you she was married the other day, but she's not. She's engaged. Her fiance is a training golf professional, wants to be a pro.
Oh, okay. So that there could be an avenue there.
Yeah. Imagine if she ends up being his caddy.
Oh, imagine if she ends up playing golf and wins something. That'd be amazing too.
Hectic.
So good. All right, that's another time will tell thing. Okay, so that's out of left field. Someone crazy good at tennis retires at a time they probably don't usually. Second thing, for anyone that cares on our updates on the Socceroos, got fucking annihilated by Japan. Oh. It was only 2-0, but it should have been 7-0. We sucked. And although we lost in fucking disgusting style, We finished third in the group, which gives us a knockout qualifying chance of getting into the World Cup still. So yep. We have, I think, the UAE coming up sometime in the next couple of months. So that's a knockout game. Have to win that. And I believe the winner of that game will then, depending on results, play someone like Peru, Uruguay or Chile or someone like that. So the chances of the Aussies actually making the World Cup, looking at that, fucking next to nothing.
I completely agree. And I think the thing with soccer for me, I really enjoy soccer. It's a nice game to watch if you understand some of the, you know, what tactics need to go into it and stuff like that. If you don't get it, people are like, why are they always passing it backwards and whatever. But we always, as Aussies, we've got this fucking crazy belief that we're actually a chance. Always. Yeah.
But that's the underdog spirit.
Our team is so shit. And the other thing as well, I don't know where some of these guys were, but like the team that we fielded the other day, not to have like Matt Leckie.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Moy.
Like Simon Goodwin, Moy, all of those. Like, it's a really important game. I don't know if they're unfit or whatever, but, like, please.
Yeah, I think there was injuries around there, so.
Yeah. No, I don't know. We're just constantly sniffing our farts about how good our football, soccer team is, whatever.
Or the potential is, and there's no potential on the horizon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even, like, our fast wingers aren't fast anymore.
Mm. Do you think this is a grassroots problem?
Probably. I remember there was talk a while ago that, you know, soccer's going to take over football and it's more popular in Australia now than footy is and all that sort of thing. But
here's a great...
If you don't have a program, it's never going to go anywhere.
Here's a great argument. No, it's not an argument, it's just a thing. Do you think if you took AFL to every other soccer country and introduced it to kids at the same age, do you think the majority of them would still go with soccer purely because their dads are into it and whatever? Or do you think a lot of them would actually go, actually, hey, this is more fun? What do you think the percentage?
Good question.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, given
I was going to say something about you can earn more money playing soccer, but then it's probably a redundant statement, really, because you're not thinking about that when you're a kid.
Well, it's a world game versus a fucking what? Yeah, different.
Yeah, I don't know. Be interesting to see.
It would. I honestly, on a blind guess, I would reckon. Oh, I think most people would think it'd be about 5 or 10%. I think it would be about 35%. Like, once you play AFL and you understand it, it's a fucking cracking game.
Yeah.
It is. It's a lot of fun. All right. Anyway.
Speaking of AFL.
Yeah. Insane. This week, we had Buddy kick 1,000 goals. It's an amazing feat to get 1,000 goals. I think, although it took him, what, he's on 320 games or something? Or
yeah, 320.
Yeah. And I think the last five guys above him did it in 220 games, but way back in the day. So when the games changed, scoring was more open. It probably won't ever happen again. Like, it's insane. You had, what, 15,000 people run onto the field? How dangerous do you think that is? Or do you love it?
I think it's fine. I genuinely think it's play on.
Really?
They knew it was going to happen. And do you know how many security guards and police officers they had there?
I heard
it was... 7 security guards, 12 police officers.
Yeah, so I think the other way around. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, something like that. So 20-ish.
20-ish people trying to stop 20-ish thousand people.
Yeah.
You go, they're my 1,000. You go and get your 1,000. It's never going to happen.
Yeah.
It's never going to happen.
I'm worried, though, for, like, Buddy Franklin. Like, you kick the goal, and what if he got crushed to death? Like, actually. I know he's a big guy, but fucking 20,000 people coming from each angle. It is dangerous. Like, maybe they can rush the field and there's a safe zone or something. Like, there has to be something. But you think of all the other dangers. We had fucking... a lady sprinkle her grandma on the field.
Yeah, that's gross.
That's fucked up. That's disgusting.
You know how premeditated that is?
Yeah. Like, One, not only was there a huge gust of wind when she dropped the ashes, it went in about five people's mouths and on three guys' jeans. So Nana's now fucking in a lot more places than just the SCG. That's just fucked up. Like, and as for a player to come and play back on there, like if you get tackled into the ground, your mouth is rubbing up against the lawn, like that's fucked. You're eating Nana.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Nana hasn't been eaten for a while.
Yeah, so. I wouldn't think so. Very dusty. The other thing is the fucking guy with the ball. Crazy. So the guy marks the ball that's going to kick through the goals, falls down about three flights of, well, that's a lie, and there were no flights of stairs. It was three sets of chairs forward, hits his head, gets up, runs onto the field. He's celebrating with it until he finds another mate of his that he didn't even come to the game with. He's like, I caught the fucking ball. He's like, mate, you need to get out of here now and hide that ball under your shirt.
Oh, is that what? I thought he took it straight away.
Nah.
He
went onto the field, was like playing around with it, and like his mate was like, that ball's worth like, now like $250,000. You need to fucking get out of here. So he did. He reckons he put it under his shirt, got into a taxi and was like, I need to go to this spot. And the taxi driver was like, why don't you just walk it? That's not that far. He's like, mate, not tonight. Just fucking take me there. Wow. So he went home, he stashed it in his room, and then he went out to the pub and drank on. And then, yeah, obviously saw that Buddy was like really disappointed that he didn't have the ball, and then met up with him and gave it back. And I think the Swans sort of must have given him something.
Yeah, they gave him like a little prize pack.
Yeah.
A footy, some footy boots, Guernsey, whatever.
I reckon he deserved 10, 20 grand. Like, just give him some fucking money. Like, he could have just not told anyone that he had the ball.
Yeah, but he could have also just given it straight back to, like, an umpire or something as well.
Mm.
Mate.
He could have.
Let me tell you.
He could have.
In his brain, he was thinking, I'm going to fucking cash in on this. He wasn't thinking, I'm going to protect this ball so that Buddy can get the ball back. Buddy was always going
to
get the ball.
Or he was just stoked that he had the ball for himself to show off to everyone in the future. Be like, you know, nothing about money. You don't know.
Oh, whatever.
But the other thing is, I'm glad someone like him got the ball and not some money-hungry loser.
All right. Devil's advocate.
Mm-hmm.
There's footage of him catching the ball behind the goals, right? Do you think if there was no footage of him where you could see his face that he would have kept the ball or he still would have given it back? Because after the game, there was lots of people saying, oh, do you know this guy? The ball's gone missing. You know, how can we find this fella? And there was pictures of him, videos, face, all of that sort of stuff.
That's a really good question. I think I would like to say the pressure of that probably forced him to do that more. But the interview with him, he seemed like a pretty down-to-earth guy anyway. I don't think he would have been – like, if Buddy actually came out and said, like, whoever's got the ball, can you please bring it to me? I'll give you a reward. I think he would have done it anyway. But, yeah, that's a great angle.
I just think the difference being if you're walking down the street one day and someone goes, that's the guy, because your face has been all over the news or whatever, versus going, no one knows who I am and then I've got the ball.
Yeah.
You can keep it a little bit quiet. Just tell your mates, your good friends, confidants.
Okay, but the thing is, you keep the ball, all right, and only the guy that's – you're weird at the footy knows that it's actually the ball. It's just – hearsay to everyone else. I've got the ball Buddy kicked for his 1,000th goal. Do you? Where's the proof? Well, here's the ball. But how do I know that's not another ball you've just rolled in the dirt? Like,
yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I think the whole thing worked out perfectly.
Yeah.
I think it's a great story. Yeah.
The thing you haven't written down here, did you see there was two players when they were ushering people off the ground or whatever that ended up outside of the stadium?
I saw something about this.
Well, I thought it was a piss take. I thought it was like Sportsbet or something put a photo up. And I was like, oh, yeah, haha, that's really funny.
Mm.
And then my boss is a Swan supporter today and we're talking about it in the morning. And he's like, oh, what about the guys that got lost outside of the ground? And I was like, that wasn't real, was it? And he's like, yes.
So
it's like two players took the wrong fucking turn when they were getting ushered off the ground and ended up outside the stadium, just like running around on the streets.
Yeah, that's so fucking funny. No, I think, yes. I think they were trying to get back to the club rooms and had to get outside to go in another gate or something like that. But it's still so fucking funny. Like they're walking around with
look, let us back in. And they're like, you're not going in.
Yeah. Who are you? Where's your ticket?
Exactly.
It's like, hey, well, we just came from on the field. No, you fucking didn't. Good try, guys. Great effort, but you're not getting back in.
Everyone wants to see Buddy's 1,000th, but don't be stupid.
That's so fucking good.
Go home. You want us to call you a taxi?
Oh, now moving around the ground. A couple of days later, I'm watching the Crows versus Collingwood at the MCG, and for the first time in my footy watching career, halfway through, was it the second quarter or the first quarter? I can't remember, but one of the quarters, the fire alarm starts going off and fucking loud, and the whole stadium starts evacuating. And did you watch this?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh my God, man. Like, I was like, what is going on? Like, is this fucking real? And I'm looking at all these camera angles that they're showing, and like, there's no fire anywhere. You can tell there's like those people that are panicking and like pushing people over to get out thinking that they're going to die. Then there's the calm ones just standing at the fence near the grass going like, I'm just going to be on the oval if something catches on fire and I'll be fine.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, it's just so funny to watch how people just panic and other people just keep their shit together. But it turned out to be like a small oven fryer or something on level 4 of the grandstand. That just
innocuous.
Yeah, just something tiny. They fixed it up and, yeah, within 5 minutes they were back playing. But it was just insane. Like, the whole week, it just seemed like nothing was going to happen in a game of sport without something crazy happening. And it's just been fucking full on. And then it continued because we got to Sunday's game with West Coast. And for anyone that doesn't know, another footy team, they're basically pretty much any decent player in their team caught COVID. So half their team was fucking made up of like...
Yeah, B-graders.
B-graders, people from fucking here and there. It was just unbelievable. And they played pretty well against North. I thought they were going to get smashed by like 50 points. I think they only lost by a few goals. So it was great effort on West Coast's behalf. So again, another crazy story. And then we get finish the week off with fucking Will Smith smacking people out. It's just fucking what?
One thing that you've missed in all of this, mm-hmm. in the crazy week stakes, is the Foo Fighters drummer passed away.
I thought about talking about this. I really did. And I thought, I'll leave it. Because, well, one, I don't know much about the Foo Fighters apart from Dave Grohl, right?
Well, if you look at that band, Dave Grohl obviously is like super famous.
Yep.
He's the famous guy. Taylor Hawkins is the next guy in the band that everyone knows. And he's just amazing drummer. And I don't know, it's one of those things really when they've been in your life for such a long time. Like, that band has been from like the cheesy original stuff that they did back in the 90s to like the really crazy, amazing songs that they had throughout their career. And they've just been there forever.
Mm.
They've played this gig. Everyone wants to speculate as soon as it happens. Oh, you know, what was it?
Oh,
and he's had drug history, so they're like, oh, you reckon it's just a drug overdose? Is there in
didn't he have Chile like 17 different things in his blood?
Yeah,
it was fucking insane. Yeah. The guy was literally taking anything he could. I reckon, like,
he was on the Keith Richards diet.
I think, like, if he had the vax, that would have been the healthiest thing that he's had in the last like fucking 9 months. Oh, but yeah, it's funny. It's not funny at all. It's just no one mentioned the vax with him at all. It was like, almost like, oh, yeah, this is probably drugs. You know what I mean? It was weird.
Anyway, it's sad. He's got kids. He's got family. All of that sort of stuff. And it's just a shame.
Yeah.
It's an end of an era.
Hey, another thing I didn't get a lot of information about, but as we were starting our podcast last week, China plane fucking nosedived into the middle of nowhere and fucking dead. Everyone on board.
Yeah. What was that, 130-odd people?
Yeah, it's something crazy. And I was thinking, oh, is this another Max plane? Another Max 8 or what it is, the one that was Lion Air and whatever, and it's gone down. But yeah, it's again way too early to tell what's happened. I'm going to keep a close eye on this and do some research because I'd love to know what the fuck happened. At the moment, it seems sus. All the pilots that have sort of commented on it said it's just so unlikely a plane will nosedive like that without a pilot controlling it.
Wow.
So, fuck, is it another pilot suicide? And that gets me thinking because that's what MH370's pretty much been rubber stamped with, right? Until they find the black box, they probably won't have any other answer other than that. But you've heard of pilots flying their fucking planes full of people into mountains. The MH370, and now the speculation with this. It got me thinking, if mental health in pilots is such a problem, and it's becoming a problem, right, why don't they separate the pilots in the cockpit? So, like, have the cockpit, maybe design it so that there's two separate cockpits with two different doors. So if, let's say, a seasoned pilot is a fucking psycho and loses his mind and he's got the junior rookie next to him, he can overpower him, kill him, keep the thing locked and then crash the plane, right? That's doable. It can be done.
Yeah.
If you've got two separate pilot or cockpits, maybe separated by bulletproof proof glass or something that's strong where they can communicate and whatever, wouldn't that just be the way we should go in the future? So you need two crazies at the same time to be crazy to take down a plane.
But how does the function of, like, does the plane detect when someone's doing a crazy maneuver or something like that? Or, and then how does it stop them from doing that?
What do you mean?
So you've got separate cockpits. I think it's a good idea, don't get me wrong. But then this pilot over here could still just, like, jag the controls. Like, well, how does it actually stop?
I don't know. Like, obviously technology's come a long way. Maybe. I know there's probably something that ground control could do to the aircraft. Like, maybe cut off pilot one could be like, I've got confirmation from the flight deck and the stewardesses that pilot two is being a fucking cocksucker. That's their code. I need you to shut down everything to do with him in his cockpit so he can't control the plane anymore.
I think it's got to be more fail-safe than that because he could say that to stop the guy from fixing it.
Exactly. Yeah, so you'd need the stewardesses.
Got to be some sort of thing.
Do you see what I'm saying? So
it's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Needs a bit more thought.
It's an idea that needs to be looked into is what I'm saying. So anyway, just another invention that I think should happen. But anyway, let's move on to our next favourite thing. All right, you going first or me?
I'll go.
Okay.
Bubble wrap. Everyone loves bubble wrap.
Mm-hmm.
Some people do. Sit there all day just popping it.
I don't mind it. I'll give it a 6.5 out of 10 just for being around.
Bubble wrap was actually invented originally as wallpaper.
No way.
100%.
Hang on. Why?
Well, in 1957, Alfred W. Fielding and Mark Chavanese.
Sounds like you know those names really well.
Chavanese, who sealed two shower curtains together, creating a smattering of air bubbles, which they initially tried to sell as wallpaper. In 1960, they realized their product could also be used for protection in packaging, and they founded Sealed Air Corporation. The inventors showed the product to IBM, which had just launched the first mass-produced computers, and the tech company became the first big client.
Really? I still don't understand the whole wallpaper thing. So it would just be literally bubble wrap on the wall.
Yeah.
That looks shit.
Oh, they liked it.
Well, they ended up having very good luck doing whatever else they did. Otherwise, that would have failed fucking very badly. You would never have bought that. Tell me now.
No, who would?
Yeah, exactly. Fucking dumb idea.
There'd be some weirdos out there that just... Could you imagine, though, when you get to the last bubble and you go like, pop.
On your whole wall.
Yeah. And then you're like,
I feel like if you got down to your last five or six, you'd be like, I want to see how long I can keep these unpopped.
There'd be people with OCD that just couldn't do it.
Yeah, some dickhead comes around your house, pops like the third to last one, you'd be like, you'd be furious for the rest of the day. You'd be like, fuck, I'm not going to get over that for a week. All right, I need to sort of go back to a couple of things. So remember when I asked you, what's your battle creature? And we're talking about expanding a small creature to the size of a tank and then taking it into battle, what you choose, and you chose the rhino beetle, right?
So I win.
I posted this on TikTok, and it was quite interesting. Do you know what the top number one suggestion was? Well, someone mentioned it, and it got the most amount of likes.
I saw some of this. Is it the fire ant?
It was just an ant.
Oh, yeah.
Now, to me, an ant's fucking cool. It can lift 50 times its weight. But apart from a couple of little pincers, it doesn't seem that dangerous. It's going to run around in circles looking for food. Not very good. No, it's not the winner. It's definitely out of everything in the world, it's not the winner. So I don't know what people are on about. So another couple of really good suggestions, right, was this. The king crab had a fair few likes. I thought, yeah, big crab might be all right, but pretty slow. Don't know. Can only walk sideways. No good.
Yeah.
The pistol shrimp. Now, here comes my fact, because I had this teed up for this week.
What's a pistol shrimp?
Well, I'm going to tell you. Liam Hellyer had commented this, and I said to him, fuck, you've just like, I thought you guys might read this and it was going to ruin my fact. But the pistol shrimp can snap their claw together and create propelled bubbles at 8,000 degrees.
What?
Yeah, it's fucked up. It's a fucked up little creature in the water. I don't get it. I don't know. I don't understand how it works, but it's fucking deadly as fuck. So
8,000 degrees.
If you were fighting in the water, I feel like that might be the thing you go for, the pistol shrimp. Another one that people wanted to go with was the flea, the spider, and the praying mantis. I still feel like maybe ours were better. But then I had Scooter Middleton, I think his name is, came up with the bombarder beetle, right? Now listen to this. It shoots out a chemical mix which burns attackers in the eyes by shooting hydrogen peroxide.
Oh, wow.
That sounds like something you want on the battlefield at a tank size. So I feel like that and your rhino beetle, same category, what wins out of that? Something that's shooting out like...
Hydrogen peroxide. That's hectic. Does it fly?
Don't know. I'd have to look into it.
I think we need to figure out, does it have a shield for a body? Does it have a giant...
Oh, like a FIFA card, like a blade. Strength attack.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, maybe we'll look into this.
Sprint speed.
Like we'll call it a beetle card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's make beetle cards.
All right. We're going. See you later.
See ya.
I will see you there or I will see you on another time.
That was very confusing. I don't know if you're going to come or not.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.